Listening Library presents Ballpark Mysteries No. 11, The Tiger Troubles, by David A. Kelly. Read for you by Mark Cashman. This book is dedicated to Monet Davis, a Little League pitcher from Philadelphia who was the first girl to win a Little League World Series game, as well as the first girl to pitch a shutout in the Little League World Series. Monet is Kate's new hero, because she reminds the world that baseball isn't just for boys. David A. Kelly. To Phil, thanks for the help on so many projects. Mark Myers. Baseball is a ballet without music. Ernie Harwell, longtime Detroit Tigers broadcaster. Chapter 1. The Missing Tiger. Kate Hopkins slipped into the driver's seat of a shiny red convertible. She pressed the center of the steering wheel twice. Beep, beep. A group of Detroit Tigers baseball players stood on the grass in front of the car. The players jumped at the sound of the horn. One of them dropped his glove. When they turned around and saw Kate at the wheel, they laughed and waved. "Hey, it's my turn to drive," said Kate's cousin Mike Walsh. He was sitting in the passenger seat. Mike and Kate were visiting Detroit with Kate's dad. Mr. Hopkins was a baseball scout for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Sometimes he took Kate and Mike with him on his trips. This time they were going to see a Tigers baseball game. But before the game, he had arranged for them to ride in a classic car parade. "I don't think either of you should be driving," Mr. Hopkins said. He opened the driver's side door and motioned for them to climb out. "We should be looking for my friend Tony." Mike pulled a baseball card out of his pocket. It showed a tall African-American baseball player wearing a white uniform with a big blue D on the front. Across the bottom of the card in gold letters was the name Tony the Tiger Maloney.
"I hope he'll give me his autograph," Mike said. "I told my friends at school I'd get it."
Mr. Hopkins shook his head. "I'm not sure he will," he said. "He injured his wrist earlier in the season. Tony told me his coach made him promise to protect his wrist and not sign any autographs until after the season." Tony was the new star outfielder for the Detroit Tigers. He and Mr. Hopkins were old friends, and Tony had invited the three of them to meet him at the Detroit car cruise on Woodward Avenue and ride in the parade with him. The car cruise was the largest car meet anywhere. People from around the world brought their old, special, or customized cars to show them off. Mike, Kate, and Mr. Hopkins walked down the line of parked cars, looking for Tony. Each car they passed was crazier than the last. There was a bright green hot rod with a horn that made an "auga" sound and a shiny blue pickup truck that shot flames out of its exhaust pipes. There was even an old-fashioned brown and yellow car with a big shaggy dog sitting in its rumble seat. Kate and Mike tried barking at the dog, but couldn't get him to bark back.
"There sure are a lot of cars here," Mike said. "That's why Detroit's called the Motor City," Kate said. "I read it's where all the big car companies started, like Henry Ford with his Model T. It was the first really popular car. They didn't cost too much, and Ford figured out how to make lots of them fast."
Kate loved to read. Whenever Mike and Kate went to a new place, Kate would read up on it. Mike, Kate, and Mr. Hopkins walked up and down the lines of parked cars until they came to a white convertible from the 1950s. The top was down, and the inside was bright red leather. When he saw it, Mr. Hopkins let out a low whistle. "Boy, they sure don't make them like this anymore. It's a 1959 Cadillac." The car was long and flat, except for two big fins that rose up on either side of the trunk. The fins had red lights in them that made them look like the tail of a rocket. Nearby, the other Detroit Tigers players were climbing into different classic cars for the parade. Mr. Hopkins checked his watch. "Tony told me to meet him here," he said. "We're going to miss the parade unless we find him."
Mr. Hopkins waved his hand. "Come on, follow me," he said. The three ran over to the last car in line. It hadn't started yet. Two Tigers players were sitting in the back seat. "Excuse me," Mr. Hopkins said to the player closest to him. "We were supposed to meet Tony the Tiger for the parade, but he's not here. Do you know where he is?" "He's gone?" the player asked. "He was over there earlier, but someone left a note for him in the car. I don't know what it said, but it sure spooked him. Once he read it, he took off like a flash." The line of cars filled with Detroit Tigers players pulled away. "Something must be wrong," Mr. Hopkins said. "I can't believe Tony would have left without telling us." "Maybe it was an emergency," Kate said. "Could be," Mr. Hopkins said. "I'll try to call him to see what's going on. Why don't you head back to the car in case he shows up?" Mike and Kate walked back to the white convertible. Mike scuffed the dirt with his sneaker. "Rats! Just look how cool this car is." He leaned over the door and peered inside. That was when he noticed something stuck between the seat and the driver's side door. He reached down and fished around. When his hand emerged, he was holding a piece of notebook paper. Mike unfolded it and read it. His eyes grew wide. "Kate, you've got to see this," he said. He held it out for her. "Leave more of you-know-what in the usual place before today's game, or it will be three strikes for your special trophy."
"Wow, I bet this is what made Tony take off," Kate said. "Somebody's blackmailing him."
Mike studied the note. "What do you think you-know-what means?" he asked.
"I don't know," Kate said, "but that trophy sounds important."
She tucked the note into her pocket. She and Mike searched the car for more clues. When Mr. Hopkins returned a few minutes later, they hadn't found anything new.
"Tony didn't answer my call, but he might be back at the stadium getting ready for today's game," Mr. Hopkins said. "I guess you didn't find him over here."
"Nope," said Kate, "but we did find this."
She took the note out of her pocket and handed it to her father.
"Someone's threatening Tony."
Mr. Hopkins shook his head as he read the note.
"This isn't good," he said. "We've got to head to the stadium right away."
Chapter 2. A Shower of Baseballs. 30 minutes later, Mr. Hopkins pulled their car into a parking lot across from the stadium. Mr. Hopkins paid the attendant and led Mike and Kate toward the main entrance.
"Wow, this is amazing," Mike said as they got closer.
Tiger heads were mounted on the stadium's outside walls, and sculptures of tigers prowled along the rooftops. There were tigers everywhere. On the brick plaza in front of the stadium, a huge tan tiger sat on its haunches. Its tail curled around it. The tiger looked as tall as a house. One of its giant paws towered high in the air, ready to take a swipe at rival teams. The tiger's mouth hung open, baring its large fangs.
"Qué tigre tan grande," Kate said. "What a big tiger."
"Tienes razón," her dad said. "You're right."
Mr. Hopkins spoke Spanish, since he worked with a lot of baseball players from other countries. Kate liked to practice with him.
"I know that tigers are the largest species of cat, but that's a really big cat," Kate said.
Mike ran over to the statue and stood underneath the tiger's outstretched paw. Kate scampered after him.
"Can you take our picture?" she asked her dad.
She took off her blue L.A. Dodgers baseball cap, so the funny face she was making would show more.
"Sure," Mr. Hopkins said.
He pulled out his phone. Mike put his arm around Kate, like he was scared. They both looked up with wide eyes and raised their arms above their heads, pretending to shield themselves from the tiger's attacking paw.
Click, click, click.
Mr. Hopkins snapped away. When he was done, he laughed.
"This is great. It looks like you're being attacked by a giant tiger."
"This place feels more like a jungle than a ballpark," Kate said.
"Well, maybe it's time to chase a tiger," Mr. Hopkins said.
Let's go around.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?